Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mark Hochman.
You know what? I might get a breast reduction.
Shut up, you jag-off.
Channing Crowder.
Throw the spinner.
Chicken and cheese is an aphrodisiac.
Alejandro Solana.
Rudy Gobert.
Those are your weather.
You look slightly zooted.
I might have tailgated a little bit.
Sports.
Thursday night football, you can watch it on your Ring doorbell.
I had some whoopee in a bunch of Waffle House parking lot.
Is milk liquid cow?
Mr. Unlimited.
More sports.
There's pork, but sometimes you gotta eat poke.
It's raining testicles!
The most sports.
If you're in a pickle, just call Swickle.
What's going on here?
I ain't getting no action last night.
The Hochman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
I don't know if people have noticed, but Solana's been getting you ready for Ultra all week long on this show. Have you noticed the music that he's playing, Crowder?
Yeah, yeah. It's very druggish.
Well, I think I don't think that's like something that people don't realize.
That's, that's such a misconception that everybody's on drugs at these music festivals, that everybody's doing ecstasy and railing lines of cocaine. And look, you know, 99% of the people probably are, but that 1% are there for the vibras.
The love of the music.
Plur.
And the vibras.
You don't know about that plur life, Crowder.
I just know that every song has the same beat, and I don't know what drug I have to get on to enjoy that.
But if you're on the right one, man, you are. You love it so much, you'll hump a tree.
Duka, 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 duka.
So, big win for the Heat last night. Here's my only problem with it. It's not Duncan Robinson. This Jimmy Butler cannot deliver in an important game. I had over 6.5 rebounds for Jimmy Butler. The only category that he didn't fly over. He ended with 4 rebounds.
About to drive to Boca to fight you. I'm like,
he was
can't deliver. The guy is shooting 70% since the All-Star break.
You're like, did he watch this game? I'm the only one at the end of that game that's cursing Jimmy Butler. I'm at the end of the game. I'm texting a buddy of mine. I'm like, Butler stinks. He's like, what are you talking about? What game are you watching? One guy stuck at 2 rebounds the whole game.
It's hard to crash the boards when you're carrying everybody else on your back.
He was amazing. We had two bets last night. Solana and I had talked about it yesterday. You were off yesterday. Solana and I were going to bet the Julius Randle over. It was 26.5. And my buddy, Max Schwartz, you once gave him a pair of shoes. My buddy Max Schwartz in Chicago, he's been on a heater. And I was telling Solana yesterday, you know, he's of legal gambling age now. When you gave him shoes, he's probably, you know, 14, 15. Been on a heater. And he texted during the show last night. He texted me and he was like, Julius Randle under. And then after the show, he had given me a whole bunch of reasons via text. So I wrote him. And Julius Randle under. I mean, he was nowhere near the Julius Randle that killed the Heat a couple of weeks ago. So missed on the Jimmy Butler rebounds, hit on the Julius Randle under, and what a victory for the Heat last night. We're going to talk about it today. Will Manso is going to join us from Local 10, Bally Sports Sun. And I don't know if you guys knew this, just a little note. Eric Spoelstra last night became the 4th coach in NBA history to reach 700 career wins with just one team. The other three coaches, this is lofty company, the other three coaches, Greg Popovich, the Spurs, Jerry Sloan, the Jazz, and Red Auerbach, the Celtics. Yeah. I mean, that is, you know, when people, you know, they still, I don't know how, and again, he's not right 100% of the time. You didn't see Duncan last night. But when people still debate somehow whether Spo, you know, is a good coach, is not a good coach, the dude is going to the Hall of, when I say like a straight line to the Hall of Fame, a straight line to the Hall of Fame. But that's an unbelievable accomplishment. And by the way, I think it says something about the Heat organization, exactly, and Pat Riley and Nick Arison, Mickey Arison. You know, they said it's Spo's time. I mean, it was Stan Van Gundy's time after Pat Riley. And then Shaq said, no, it's Pat Riley's time still. And Pat came back.
Yep.
And then when they went to Spo and then the Big Three era started, LeBron kind of said, no, you know what? It's Pat Riley's time again. And to their credit, they stuck with Spo. They supported him like you don't see most coaches get supported. Nope. And 700 wins later, he is in the company of only three others. And they're all Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? Greg Popovich, Jerry Sloan, Red Auerbach. You're talking about the creme de la creme of NBA coaches. So props to Spo on last night.
Like you're going to say, I was going to say the thing about the organization, just being consistently competitive, because you have those lulls and something has to go. Like you always, and the coach is usually the first one to go. The Heat doesn't have those lulls. You take out the Big Three category, because I'm one of the dummies, I guess, that say, hey, you give me personally Bosh, Wade, and LeBron, I win a couple championships. The other time, the playoff run, the bubble run, the Shaq and Wade thing back in the day, becoming what he was, and all of that put together, like you cannot doubt Eric Spoelstra in being a Hall of Fame coach. And I hate, Hawk, that people still question this man.
And by the way, I'm not saying that having great players doesn't make a huge difference, because you only have to look at Greg Popovich to know that if you have great players, you're a really winning head coach. And if you don't have great players, then you're not. So I get it. Like, he has been dealt a very nice hand of cards, but I've said it a million times. To me, Eric Spoelstra was uniquely qualified to coach four seasons of the Big Three. They allowed him to do it, and he accomplishes 700 wins last night with one organization. Certainly worth noting.
And to have Pat Riley two doors down from you at all times throughout your career. And I'm not saying it as a knock. I'm saying it as the organization having that set up where Pat gives the team to Spo, but he's still right there. I've said it before. There's no way Pat Riley at halftime of games doesn't text or call Spo or say something in the alleyway. Hey, Spo, why don't you move to three? Get a little smaller at four, something like that.
I don't think he does anymore, but I will tell you, credit to Spo. I believe he leaned on Pat Riley and allowed Pat Riley to do those kinds of things for many of the first seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, you know, we would talk, like, we would say, oh, yeah, the head coach, Eric Spoelstra, you know, they're really coached by Pat Riley, you know. And I think gradually over time, he's proven that he's the head coach. I don't think he relies on Pat Riley much of anything anymore on the day-to-day stuff. But at the beginning, like, props to him for saying, oh, okay, I don't have to go out and prove myself here in one season, and I've got to cut all ties and you know, get rid of any nonsense that Pat Riley has anything to do with my teams. Like, I think it was pretty clear that he would lean on Riley and Riley would have a say. And I just think it's been a marriage made in heaven. So good on them.
And one thing, all the personalities, him and Jimmy yelling at each other, bump gate and all that, that was nothing. Like,
nothing.
Name me a real beef Eric Spoelstra's ever had with a player. And he's coached, like you said, some of the best in the world. There's no real beef. They respect this man because he's maximizing their ability on the court. That's what great players want a coach to do.
Never got choked like P.J. Carlissimo.
Sure
too much. Too much.
Well, it added to my point.
So anyway, props to him. We're gonna talk some Heat today. We'll get some headlines here. Start out the show headlines with Alejandro Solana, who has on his little graphic up on our YouTube broadcast here, Jimmy Butler is my father.
He's also Julius Randle's father as well. Oh, Julius Randle doesn't get foul calls in Miami. Hey,
it was so great.
Hey, buddy, maybe next time you hit one prayer to win a game and you have a nice one, show a little humility. Show a little class. Don't dance around the hardwood in Miami, which, by the way, has experienced more titles than your stupid franchise has ever experienced as a 5 seed this season. They're celebrating like they won the NBA championship. Guess what? Jimmy Butler showed them what real champions are made of last night, gentlemen.
Yes. I love it when Solana talks about his dad. Makes me miss mine.
The genes are genin' for me right now. I got to look at 23andMe or something. I don't see it. I'm not going to lie.
But yeah, guys, last night was a lot
that
of fun.
That would have been a funny title for Scottie Pippen's book, 23andMe.
It so would have.
That would have been an inspired title for his book and for his wine. What does he have? Wine or liquor or something? He's got, remember he was doing that whole
tequila,
media tour?
Tequila
like a
or, something.
Or something. Is it tequila? Yeah. 23andMe.
It would sell.
Right? That'd be great. But
he would have to put his old his self-esteem to the side.
I know. 23andMe.
But it's great because it's funny, because it's true.
I mean, it's so true. It's never been – anyone who's ever checked their family history, 23andMe has never been more true than anything than Scottie Pippen.
Who is – if Scottie doesn't have Jordan, what is he? Is he – like Karl Malone, is he?
I would
say he's not what he is now.
It's a really good question. So Scottie Pippen, a Hall of Fame basketball player and deservedly so, right? He did not ride someone's coattails. Michael was not winning championships until Scottie was there. So I'm not throwing shade. You wonder though, if Scottie Pippen, because who was he originally drafted by? Was it Seattle? Because he got traded, right? Didn't he get traded to Chicago? Or am I making that up?
I don't remember that, but I'll double check.
I should know. Hold on. I'm going to look.
I won't even lie.
But let's say he doesn't end up on the Bulls with Michael Jordan.
I mean, you're right.
He ends up on...
You're right.
Was it Seattle?
He was drafted by Seattle and then...
Traded on draft day.
Right. They traded for him. Yeah. 5th overall to the Bulls.
Yeah. So let's say he ends up on Seattle, doesn't get traded, or let's say he gets drafted by Detroit, or you wonder. Mm-hmm. Think about Shaquille O'Neal. Let's say he doesn't get drafted by Orlando.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, does he have 10 championship rings if he doesn't go to Orlando? I'm not kidding you. Like,
yeah, no, the place
it's
where you
really
end up.
Weird how one, like, it does, it's not to say anything about a person's talent, but the situation is also so important with that stuff.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And you can go through all the sports and see the different guys. Marino goes to see the Pittsburgh.
Right.
Marino gets drafted to the Steelers. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go through them and be like, damn. But I think Scottie would say that he would have been better because he had more opportunity. He 100%. Would have been the dude. But I would argue with Scottie and say, Scottie, I think that was created by Michael. That's it.
Mario Chalmers would
team.
Argue that if LeBron didn't come to the Heat, they still go to 4 NBA finals. And Mario is more recognized than any other Heat because they still win 2 and maybe 3 because he doesn't have to defer.
This conversation is, you know, and it come back around. I know y'all kill me about with Jimmy. Number twos believing they're number ones and never having the opportunity to be a one and seeing what happens when you are. And Scottie was – that 1 year, Jordan, I remember watching the show. When Jordan retired, the Bulls were still decent. Jordan hung it up that year, they were still good, but they didn't win.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, they came very close. They had Tony Kukoc on that team. That was a really good team.
Yep, but still.
But it wasn't – Michael wasn't there.
It wasn't that. And Scottie, why couldn't you do that when Jordan was gone?
Anyway, go check out his book if you haven't read it yet, 23andMe. Available at bookstores everywhere. All right, let's get a quick look at the headlines here with Alejandro Solana.
They're driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store, Palmetto Ford?
Very tickled by a couple things I've come up with over the last couple of weeks. DQ Metcalf and 23andMe.
23andMe is good.
You think someone, like even the publisher, maybe even suggested it?
No.
Like you just, no.
You know what? I'll tell you one thing. If you were next to Scottie Pippen, you wouldn't even repeat it. We could do this bit for 4 years. We have a chance to stand next to Scottie Pippen. Are you bringing this up?
Nope. As funny as it is, I'm doing the Solana at the door. You're welcome. Under my breath.
Under me.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, under me.
What's he saying, Larsa?
Great Larsa reference. Not timely at all. But everyone knows. Yeah, everybody knows Larsa.
Yeah, well, I know.
Tonight, the Florida Panthers, they're in action. They host the Maple Leafs, 7 p.m. I have not looked, but I will make the announcement. Sergei Bobrovsky is starting tonight. That is zero research.
Yeah, if he doesn't, there are going to be a heck of a lot of questions asked of Paul Maurice.
Yes.
If he doesn't, check out Paul Maurice's head, because, I mean, you know, I don't know.
Hitting the pipping tequila a little too much.
Wanted to see what Lion can do.
We saw.
Yeah, we saw. We're good.
We good. Go back over there, young man. Sit down, way down.
Tonight, how about Nova Southeastern University, the Sharks, in the Final Four of the NCAA Division II tournament. They're playing San Bernardino, Cal State San Bernardino, 4:30 p.m. in a little less than 2 hours.
Yeah, you weren't here yesterday. Someone had said you're giving all this South Florida basketball love, and he had DM'd me on Instagram, so I looked at it a little bit. So Nova Southeastern today, and you and I had talked about this, Solana, yesterday, whether it was streaming or on TV. It is on TV. I checked into it. It's on CBS Sports Network.
Right.
4:30 this afternoon.
Yeah.
Which is on DirecTV channel 221. If you'd like to tune in, 4:30, I am going right to this TV monitor and I'm watching me some Nova Southeastern basketball.
I got me a Shark shirt. I'm going to go
do
train.
Yeah, it's right by you.
I coached at U School and we were the Sharks because Nova, we're their nonprofit. So
yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, they go to the NCAA finals in March Madness Division II if they can beat Cal State in a couple of hours.
I'm going to find it.
Very cool.
Yeah, their Twitter account posted how to watch us today. And they put all the local channels for all the providers, AT&T, DirecTV, Dish, and Xfinity, and also how to watch online. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Channel 6 on Adelphia, if you have Adelphia. Hmm.
So, Mr. Boca, you got to show Davey some love. Davey's in the front. Yeah, you know, got athletes.
Listen. Davey has always been Division II to Boca's Division I. I am with you 100%.
You can go to hell.
And FAU tonight, they play the 4-seed Tennessee Sweet 16 at Madison Square Garden, 9 p.m. tip-off.
Somebody text in, Hawk, before you go too deep into talking sports, Wendy's garlic fries are a game changer. Wendy's has garlic fries?
Just garlic or Parmesan?
It's got to be Parmesan. Yeah.
One would guess, right? A little garlic Parmesan sprinkle.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, who'd want a cup of garlic? That's not appealing.
Oh, garlic salt. A little garlic salt. Give it a little extra pizzazz.
I love garlic salt. The little green one, we pour it on everything at the Crowder House.
Not a green big fan one. Of garlic yeah. Parmesan fries. Like, I can pick at them a little bit. But
I'm not a big fan of the truffle fries. Those are, you know, they go,
that's
oh,
what it is,
here's,
yeah.
Yeah, here's French fry, because like truffle Parmesan right. Sometimes. They go, oh, here's a plate of French fries. We're going to make a topping that is so pungent, mm-hmm. It's inedible, and we're going to charge you an extra $12 mm-hmm. for this plate of fries. Yeah, you know what? I'm good. Thanks, Larsa. I'm good.
Larsa created the truffle?
I found it to be a funny punchline.
The whole idea of truffle in general, I'm very skeptical of it because they
it's
swear.
Delicious.
No, they swear it's a delicacy and it's so expensive. You order a plate of ravioli, truffle ravioli. They do a little shed of seven little millimeters of truffle, and they're charging me $120 for it. Hey.
Aren't the real truffles, don't they have to have, like, specially trained, I don't know if it's dogs or
dogs.
Pigs.
It's dogs, yeah.
And they're, what are they, mushrooms or something? They grow under, like,
Like little fungus balls. I've watched a show about it. Yeah, and they send these little rat terrier things out to smell them up. But I'll tell you this. You want to waste some money? Take a kid to a nice restaurant and let them put truffle on that mac and cheese. I wasted
up. Hey, an adult. I can't eat that crap. It's pungent.
We went, and it's a nice steakhouse. Tuesday night when I got off work, met the family, and we went to Bourbon Steak. It's at Turnberry's restaurant
there. Yeah.
And it's damn delicious. Like, the food is amazing. We were there for 4 hours. I was just sitting around talking to people. But I ordered two mac and cheeses and two fries. And y'all know these mac and cheese is like $25 there. Fries are like $18. Two for the kids. They wouldn't touch them because they were truffle fries and they were truffle mac and cheese.
Yep.
If y'all want some truffle mac and cheese, I'll mail it to you because I got two big-ass boxes in my refrigerator right now. $25 mac and cheese.
I don't blame them. That stuff's inedible.
You know me as a father. Eat it. This ain't that bad. You're going to eat something. You're going to eat some. You eat a portion of it.
It's either that or dessert rice.
Man, dessert rice. I got to make y'all some. Y'all sleeping.
Your weather, it's sponsored by DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. Right now, partly cloudy in South Florida. Beautiful day. Tonight, the lows will drop into the mid to low 70s. That's your weather.
Today is National Chips and Dip Day, by the way. I'd like to celebrate that. Will Manso is going to join us in the next segment. I want to tell everybody, too, about a tweet that I sent out 3 years ago today that affects this show to this day.
Oh,
so we're going to talk some heat with Will Manso and have a little fun today on National Chips and Dip Day.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Go suck an egg.
Hawk and Crowder. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Will Manso is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, sports anchor on WPLG Local 10 here in Miami. You see him on the Heat broadcast, pregame, halftime, postgame on Bally Sports Sun. Today, I believe he's firmly planted at the Miami Open, enjoying a little bit of tennis. You know what's weird is to get through your head, even though it's been there, that the Miami Open is at Hard Rock Stadium. Because I still think about, you know, getting there. What was it?
Crandon Park.
It was at Crandon Park, right, where you'd have to take the Rickenbacker. Is that where I was?
Key Biscayne, Rickenbacker, all the way down.
Which was beautiful.
One way in, one way out.
One way in, one way out.
Traffic was terrible.
Traffic was terrible at times.
Yes.
At times. Anyway. Will Manso is – are you at the Miami Open, Will?
I am here at a lovely Hard Rock Stadium, home of the many Super Bowls, Dolphins games, Canes games, F1, tennis, you name it. There's a million things going on. But I do miss – I miss Key Biscayne. I was – my first assignment ever was at Channel 10, 1999, was interviewing Steffi Graf at the old – I guess they call it like the Ericsson or the Lipton back then. I don't remember. And so it brings back good memories.
Was that your first – job out of college? Did you work in any other markets besides Miami?
No,
or did you go to Miami
moved,
and then stay in Miami?
No, I wish. I was gone 2 years. I went almost a year and a half to Missoula, Montana. And then I lived about 8 months in Battle Creek, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Michigan market. And then I got the job at Channel 10 in 99. So I was away for 2 years in the cold and then came back home.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Enjoy that Miami Open. Enjoy it.
Everybody has that story about some no-name city they had to go to.
Oh, yeah. And I remember how much I hated Missoula. Like, you know, not just the thought of moving to Montana. And then I loved it so much that years later, like right pre-pandemic, I took my family to a summer vacation. The girls still talk about how much fun they had in Missoula. Like, you know, the cabin, like, you know, life out in the mountains and all that stuff. We had a blast. So when you're 21, though, and single and broke, you don't value it as much.
Not so much Battle Creek, though. You didn't take the family to Battle Creek?
You know, other than it smelled like Kellogg's cereal and the air at 24 hours a day, because that's where they make Kellogg's cereal. That's all I remember. It was a long 8 months. Yeah, it was a long 8 months there.
I'm gonna plan a family vacation. Now, who doesn't like the aroma of Kellogg's cereal?
The guy's practically the
Chamber of Commerce right now.
Yeah, Frosted Flakes in my nose every morning when I would wake up. It was great.
Let's talk about last night's Heat game. That was such a fun, needed victory over the Knicks. One of the things that I loved, Will, was Jimmy Butler being Jimmy Butler out there. He's jawing with Julius Randle. He's chirping and looking at Dwayne Wade during the game, and after the game they're embracing. And I kind of felt like you were starting to see playoff Jimmy begin to arrive. Did you get that vibe?
Yeah, and I honestly, guys, I think we've seen it since the All-Star break. I mean, since the All-Star break, I couldn't name you guys on one hand that have been better than Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy's been averaging 26. His efficiency is off the wall. I mean, it's the stuff he's done since the break has been superstar elite stuff, you know, and it goes kind of unnoticed because the Heat have still been a little up and down. But he is in whatever you want to call it, playoff Jimmy, that next gear, that next level, he's there and locked in. And if they could just get anything like the effort they get from Tyler in the fourth and Kyler coming off the bench and, you know, the three starting to drop, then this could be a team that, you know, could look like the team we expected entering the playoffs. Unfortunately, as maybe a sixth seed, but still, I think they could be peaking at the right time with Jimmy playing that type of ball.
And, Will, you talked about it with Kyle coming off the bench. Tyler might not start, but he's going to close every game, and he's playing well in the fourth quarter. And just Jimmy being Jimmy, are we watching what, like, the setup of this team? Is this what we have to do, these guys filling these roles for us to compete in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it goes back to Kyle, too. Like, you hate to put it all on him, but it's clear how different they are when he's just effective, right? Like, you don't need 18.9 assists Toronto Raptors, Kyle. But if you get 12.6 assists, push the pace, you know, sets up his teammates well, Kyle, that's a productive player, especially in the bench role and Spo really kind of scattering his minutes and making sure he's in key spots in the game. I think between that and the way Tyler has played fourth quarters and Bam is just, you know, Bam throughout. I mean, Bam's going to do all the dirty work and have to do some of the big work too, sometimes the heavy lifting. But when Jimmy's playing at that level, I think that formula, guys, can be successful. Now, could it be a team that makes another run to the Eastern Finals? That's probably asking a lot given where they are now, but at least it gives them the best chance to compete entering the playoffs.
Yesterday, Will, we were talking with Clay Ferreiro, who's who you work with at Local 10, and Clay mentioned that, you know, a couple weeks ago, the goal, everybody was saying, avoid the play-in seed because you don't want to play Boston or Milwaukee. And right now, Boston seems to have regressed a little. And Clay was saying, as much as he'd like to see the Heat really get out of the seventh seed, just for the sake of ending their season strongly, he doesn't think it's as big of a priority anymore. The priority is now just avoid Milwaukee in the first round. Do you think right now the Miami Heat, playing the way they're playing, could potentially give Boston a run for their money, considering their regression?
I mean, look, Boston has struggled. I still don't want to see them in the playoffs because I think that Tatum and Brown and that combination of players they have and they're championship-tested, you know, that's a team that I still think could be dangerous. But I think also Philly's playing much better. The dynamic is different there, you know. I think with Philly, you feel you have a better chance for two reasons. Number one is you've beaten them before. And number two is, let's face it, you never wish injury on a player, but Embiid is the kind of guy that is a little brittle and that sometimes could, we saw it last year, miss a game or two. And it's a significant issue in a seven-game series. So, to me, I still think the ideal matchup for them first round is Philly. I'd rather avoid Boston, but I think above it all, guys, is just avoid the play-in. You just don't want to get to a position where you have to win just to save your season. You know, you have to win one or two games basically as that seven seed. You want to just have a firm spot in six, and whoever falls there, whether it's Philly or Boston, you're ready. You've seen that team before, and you give it your best shot in a seven-game series.
And just back to the players quickly, Will. I can't brush over it. I don't trust Kyle Lowry. I'm not going to lie. Like, he played well last night, but before that, his game logs were nothing, bro. How do we go in there? How do we go into the playoffs trusting that Kyle's going to be, one, healthy, and if he's healthy, efficient on the field and doing what you just said, facilitating, you know, not being selfish? Like, I don't trust him to do any of that, and stay healthy is on the list.
Look, I don't blame you. Like, when I talk to Heat fans about that, like, and they complain about Kyle and his inconsistency and all this stuff, I get it. Like, and that's why I try to say, like, okay, I don't expect Toronto Raptors, Kyle. But I do think that in the couple of years he's been here, there have been moments where Kyle last night, you know, a little bit, you saw a lot of what he can do. You've seen it a bit since he came back in that bench role from the knee injury. They're scattering his minutes. They're trying to just make it where he's his most effective at whatever minutes he gets. And those spurts with the second unit kind of, you know, one thing Miami struggled with all year is offense. And the offense gets stagnant, the ball sticks, and it doesn't move. With Kyle there, at least it's moving. And when he can knock down a shot, it's even better the way he has a couple times again since he's come back. So, Channing, I understand your take. I don't blame you. I understand it. But I do think that for the Heat to get to the level they want to get, they have to have Kyle. They can't go in where it's just Gabe and they don't have a productive backup, you know, point guard, somebody who can space the floor and lead the offense when Gabe isn't on the court. Because Gabe has his moments where he's consistent and up and down, but when they play together to fill the 48 minutes, I think that's the best version of this Miami Heat team.
And they probably need to find a few minutes for Duncan, too, right?
Oh, goodness.
All right, I'm teasing.
Oh, here we go.
Don't worry.
I was waiting for the Duncan drop. It can't be a hit without a Duncan drop.
Will Manso is with us. So there's a couple things. You and I both went to UM, and I live in Boca. And so you've got this great little story going on of South Florida being this hotbed for March Madness. I'm beyond excited. Canes men's and women's, FAU men's team. And then you've also got, 1 week from today, Marlins season opening. And yesterday on the show, because there's like so many things going on. Yesterday on the show, I read on the air your thread about the World Baseball Classic and the attendance and, you know, comparing it to the Marlins attendance last season and kind of, you know, spitballing on what it would take. I've said to Crowder and Solana, if 1/10 of the excitement from the World Baseball Classic could be generated towards the Marlins this season in new excitement, it would be an unbelievable change there. So, I mean, is it as simple as, hey, put out a consistent winner, it'll feel that way? I don't know if it'll feel the way that the World Baseball Classic does.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But, you know, is it as simple as field a consistent winner, you'll get excitement?
I think so, because it's the only thing we haven't seen here, right? Like, in the course of the Marlins, we've seen 2 World Series championships, right? We saw that lightning in a bottle, you know, COVID year playoff run that was fun, but it wasn't sustained. It was only 60-plus games, whatever it was. I think we've never seen consistency of a product, of a team just saying, okay, I'm investing as an ownership group in this product, this team, this payroll, signing our guys, building our guys. It's always like, you know, the Stanton Yelich years, okay, it didn't work. They didn't reach the level they wanted. They blew it up. You know, this new team, Bruce Sherman comes in, they're kind of doing things. I give Sherman credit. It's not like they're not spending money, but I don't think they're spending money at the level where you can truly compete. And I think fans just want an honest chance. And that's the one thing we haven't gotten, even through the championships, is an honest, consistent product. And I think that's the final step to see if baseball can really work. And how do you do it with this team, guys? I mean, you build around Sandy. He's your Cy Young winner. He's got, you know, the love of the Dominican fan. You get a Luis Arraez, who's a batting champ, nice player. Jazz represent the Bahamas. I mean, you have this cultural dynamic that I think you can entice local fans just for their guys. And if you can keep that nucleus, make some noise, it's not going to happen in 1 year. It's not going to be this year. You have to commit. But if next year you're trading Sandy, right, and you're trading Jazz, you're not signing free agents, your minor league system still isn't very good, then what are you really selling to the fan? Because passion and excitement for baseball, as much as we love it in the World Baseball Classic, that's not enough. Not enough to bring fans out 81 games a year, even at 15, 16, 17,000 fans a game, which is about half of what they got for the WBC.
And Will, that was created by Loria and Samson. Like, we're still blaming them. They have nothing to do with us anymore.
Everybody.
But that's who created this problem?
I think it goes back to Wayne. I mean, I think it goes back to winning a championship and blowing it up the next year. And then Loria and Samson come in, and again, to their credit, they get pudged. They win a title, and then they, you know, the Cabrera trade. My goodness, what a disaster that was. And every group that's come through, John Henry, everybody, no one – just understands that you've got to commit. And look, it's a big thing, guys. It's not my money. A, I'm not a billionaire. B, if I was, I still wouldn't like losing money. It's not fun to just spend money and see the money go nowhere. But you have to commit to a product to see if it grows, and that takes money. And it takes more than just making a trade and signing one guy. Look, the Marlins weren't very active in big free agents this year. I hate when people say, well, they can't sign a $300 million guy. Of course they can. They just don't want to. And again, it's not my money. I understand why. But if you really want to compete with the big boys, you got to spend money. You got to commit, and you got to show your fans you care for the long term, not just to put a decent product out, but to put a consistent winning product out.
You know, it's sustained excellence. When we had started the show today, I had read this little nugget. Eric Spoelstra last night, I'm sure you know this, became the fourth coach in NBA history to reach 700 mm-hmm. career wins with one single franchise. Yep. And I was saying, you know, that is kind of a testament to the organization. It's certainly a testament to Spo, but it's a testament to the organization. I mean, it is sustained excellence. And when you have, you know, a front office and an owner and a coaching staff that seems to be in on it for the long term, long haul, they're all on the same page. I don't know. It breeds excellence. And so you can have down seasons for the Heat, and you yep. still have, you know, again, does it feel now like it does during the Big Three era? No.
But you still
trust. Is there
trust.
Conversation about yeah. them that we have about the Marlins? No. And I just, they're missing that.
Yeah. And look, it's easy to say, go get yourself your Pat Riley, because they're obviously getting Pat Riley, those don't grow on trees. I mean, the Heat really lucked out in being able to get Pat when they did, and just giving him the keys and saying, you take it. But the one thing that the Heat have done, look, have the Heat been good every year the last 25 years? No. They have had one and done. They've had non-playoff games, performances. They had a 15-win season. There have been plenty of downs through the championships and the ups. But the one thing you can always count on is that they're going to try to put up their best product the next year. They're going to try to make those next moves, look ahead. And I think the one thing you have never gotten through all the ownership groups of the Marlins is that. Even the Dolphins. I say it all the time. Like, I'm sitting here in this world Stephen Ross created. It's incredible. Tennis, F1, Super Bowls, football, college, all these things we talk about. Stephen Ross puts his money where his mouth is. He's not afraid to spend it. He's not afraid to try to win. It hasn't worked out yet to the big level, but it certainly hasn't been for lack of trying and effort. And I think Dolphins fans appreciate that.
And Will, would Spo be – he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, the list of coaches that's won 700 games with the same team, they're all Hall of Famers. Like, he's there. But would he have been this good of a coach, disrespected, if he didn't coach for the Heat? If Pat Riley didn't bring it up through the system and he kind of – you know, we were talking about earlier, Pat helped him early in his career. Like, would he still be a good coach if he went to Sacramento or something?
I think he would have been a good coach, but I think he would have gotten fired somewhere along the way, because that's just the way the cycle works, right? Like, even good coaches end up being retreads and end up landing somewhere else. Like, Spo had the full confidence. Let's face it. Jeffrey Loria fires Eric Spoelstra when the Heat were 9-8, the Big Three year where LeBron wasn't happy and all this stuff was going on. Pat Riley said, deal with it. This is my guy. I trust him to win, and it paid off. And again, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. But you're right, Channing, in another situation, in Indiana, in the Sacramento, and God knows where, he probably doesn't have an ownership group and a GM and a president that gives him the patience and trust to do that. And that's a rare – and trust me, Spo knows it. Spo knows how fortunate he is, that it's always not just about knowledge but luck. And the Heat have committed to him, and now because of it, he's one of the great coaches of all time. I mean, if anything, he's underrated. And like you said, 700 wins, one of four with the same franchise, and he's still a young guy. It's incredible.
Yeah, really pretty wild. It was fun last night and Saturday night. I mean, talk about a playoff atmosphere. Saturday night is going to be great against Brooklyn.
Oh, we're looking forward to watching.
Go enjoy some tennis. Will Manso from Local 10 and Bally Sports Sun. Thank you, Will.
Anytime. Solana, turn off the lights Saturday night. We'll see you then.
Yes, sir. You and me, Will.
Solana wants to get there now. That is Solana, Saturday night is going to be lit.
I might need to get there now, considering the traffic from Ultra on Saturday. me and Will will be stuck in Ultra traffic on the way home on 95.
What time does the game start on Saturday? 8 o'clock, I think?
8 p.m.
What time are you going to get there? Honestly, like, you got to navigate some traffic, man.
I'm guessing from Kendall, it will take me an hour and a half at least to get there. So I'm planning to leave super early.
All right. There you go. Will Manso from Local 10. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.